Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
I was looking up some statistics today on homes sold, and in 2018, there were over 89,000 homes sold in Indiana. 89,000 homes sold. That's 244 homes sold every day, which I find just amazing. And if you're looking to buy or sell a home, which obviously a lot of people are, those numbers matter. Today, I'm very excited to welcome Scott Armstrong. He's the owner and managing broker of Armstrong Real Estate Brokerage. Scott, thank you for joining me today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rick.
Well, I really appreciate it. And I thought we'd start, if you could just kind of give a background on yourself, kind of your story and how you got started in real estate.
No, of course. I'm from Northwest Indiana. Okay. I grew up in Crown Point, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
Graduated from Indiana University in 2000. Bounced around the Midwest for a little bit in various sales capacities with large companies. I was in healthcare sales and living in Milwaukee in 2006. My wife and I decided to move back to Indiana for a handful of reasons, and moved to Carmel in 2006. When I moved to Carmel, I had a friend and evolved into a colleague, a good friend of mine, childhood friend, that had started a property management company with his father, primarily managing single-family homes and assets for other, you know, landlords.
Okay, yeah.
Was out with him. This was at the end of 2006 to launch, and he gave me a quick, you know, tutorial on what they were buying them for, the general overview of rehab costs, what they were leasing them out at, and I was always intrigued by real estate. And so we took a chance, and this is my wife and I, we bought one. This was in Lawrence Township at the end of 2006. Okay. On the northeast side of Indianapolis. And that was a foreclosed property. We purchased it from the bank, fixed it up, and got it performing relatively quickly. And then in beginning of 2007, I guess it was, I procured a partner, another coincidentally good childhood friend that had done well, had some capital and was intrigued by that space. And if you think about the timeline, we started to see more distressed properties pop up,
right?
Primarily around, you know, the area we focused in on was now there were seven or eight zip codes, primarily the outer perimeter of Marion County.
Okay.
So we started a company, and one by one, same process, bought them primarily directly from banks that had foreclosed upon them, pumped money into them, and got them performing one by one. And that portfolio grew until 2009. You know, I got my license along the way, by the way, so I could buy and sell my own inventory initially, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So in 2009, that portfolio was large enough. I felt we had close to 40 properties by that time. There was enough activity there to manage full-time and grow, and I felt I could carve out a living for myself full-time. So I left healthcare sales and focused on growing that portfolio exclusively, and we did. We grew that until, 2012. At that point in time, we had between 70 and 80 single-family homes. Then, you know, at the end of 2012, end of 2011, beginning of 2012, we started to see pick up an article here and an article here about, you know, these institutional folks, you know, hedge funds and REITs, essentially, you know, attempting to execute the similar model to what we had, right, just on a much, much larger scale, right? You know, people are still hung over from the Great Recession, 2008, 2009. So we were, you know, a little bit ahead of the curve on that, you know, in terms of action here locally.
Right.
And so we started reaching out, you know, anybody that we could identify coast to coast that was active you know, somewhere in the country, started reaching out to them, and you know, a long story short, our we sold our portfolio to one of those funds that they were a private hedge fund at the time. This was the beginning of 2013. Their entity evolved into a public REIT, but we sold that portfolio at the end of 2012. So that was, you know, that was a good day for the Armstrong family. Yeah. But that was 100% of my income, okay. You know, at that point in time. So, you know, all right, immediate thought was, what's the quickest route to traction from an income standpoint again? You know, I liked real estate. I wanted to stay in it. By that time, I, you know, had that entrepreneurial feel ingrained into me. And so I went back the 80 or 90 hours, whatever it was, to become my own broker, start my own company. And I've been doing this full time now since 2013. It'll be 7 years here soon, you know, helping buyers and sellers transact real estate locally.
Yeah. And obviously that is really interesting. I know a lot of agents who get into real estate and then they buy property, but you actually started buying the property.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah. And I would much rather, I'll tell you, be brokering real estate for the next 20 or 30 years than to be landlording at that level for the next 20 or 30 years. And, you know, it obviously worked out. You know, our intention on the front end was not a sell at just kind of the macroeconomic conditions of our time, you know, 2011, 12, it wouldn't happen today. You know, if we were to, they're just not buying like that today. We were the initial footprint for these folks. They ended up buying another three or 400 locally. But the pace at which these folks are purchasing has eroded significantly. Right. So the timeline, you know, the stars aligned, and but you're right. Yeah, I did it backwards.
Sounds like you did it right. But you know, we're having you on also because, you know, I've had conversations with you, and you're a listing guru. You know listings. Like nobody else I've ever talked to. It's what you do. It's what you focus on. And I know that's most of your business is driven from that listing side, and that's obviously. That side is you're helping the sellers. You understand how to get a house ready, how to market the house. Because a listing agent, at least in my mind, is it's not that you have to sell that home, but you have to present that home so it can sell. Because there's you have a lot of people out there, other real estate agents who are out there selling that house, and you need to market to not mm-hmm. only the homeowner who the home buyer who might be looking, but also to the other real estate agents who have the buyers for that. So I was wondering if you could, you know, talk about that and how that works, how you do that.
Well, yeah. So I learned quickly that the list side of and I think that, you know, if you audited the brokerage community at large, whether you're brokering yachts or real estate or airplanes or you know, I think that most, if given the choice, would probably want to focus on the list side. You know, you're no newsflash, you're in the business of helping buyers all day long. But there's a handful of reasons for that. And by the way, I do help buyers, you know, when they come my way through referrals or just, you know, through normal course of business. I just simply don't allocate resources to, you know, I don't buy leads. I don't, you know, like a lot of brokers do. Anything that I invest in on that part is, you know, to produce listing leads. But there's a handful of reasons for that. There's, as I said, buyers tend to be a little bit less committed to buying than sellers are to selling, right?
That's true.
And, yes. You know, when you're in a 100% commission world, you know, eat what you kill scenario, you know, you want to focus on activity that gives you the highest probability of some yield at the end of the transaction, right? So that's one. You know, you're just in terms of time, you know, working with buyers is a different, you know, to say no to. And, you know, most buyers want to look at property nights and weekends. And you start working with four or five buyers, you know, searching for property, you're going to start overlapping quick.
Right.
And you're going to have to say no to somebody, or you're going to, you know, have to hire that out or hire a team member. And then leverage too. You know, I can effectively manage 20 to 25 listings at a time. So, and listings give you structure in your week. And I'm a structured mind, and I like having a plan for my day, a plan for my week. Not that things can't be thrown at you. But yeah, so I'm closing 50 to 70 transactions a year, and the bulk of that, about 80%, are driven from the list side, correct?
Okay. And can you give us just some information on what would be the best way for somebody to get a hold of you if they wanted to talk to you about listing their home? Or
that's easy. I keep it real simple. I have one phone number, and that is my cell phone, and I have no reservations about giving that out to the world, and that is 317-432-1544. And I have one email address, which is Armstrong, R-E, as in real estate, brokerage, at gmail.com. So 317-432-1544. Or, you know, call me day or night, or Armstrong, R-E, brokerage, at gmail.com.
And I can tell you, you are great at either answering the phone or getting back with somebody quickly, because I've never had any issue. You've always responded very quickly, which I find... Well, I know
likewise.
That's important, people.
In today's world, it's, in my experience, people are generally more accessible because their phones are right next to them. And if you don't, in a session like this, what we're doing right now, my phone is off. The first time it's been off in probably a year.
Right. That's right.
But if something's on somebody's mind, if a client calls the longer time that occurs in between their question or their call and your response, generally some type of negative energy fills that air. I try to be as responsive as I can.
Yeah, well, you are. Can you tell us a little bit about the market this year and compare it maybe to last year and the overall conditions?
Well, so that question I get asked a lot. How's the market? And I will tell you that broadly speaking, so this is... Central Indiana, our region here is Marion and then the 7 or 8 donut counties, okay? Within that, there's probably hundreds of different submarkets, depending on your product, your location, how many buyers, et cetera. But broadly speaking, it's a very solid year. I mean, in terms of, the statewide volume, but Central Indiana drives a lot of that. It's where all the people are at, right?
Right, that's right.
So, if you look back at, I look at volume and price essentially, right? And it's important too, I think, that we communicate why volume and price are important. The economic, our economy, loves real estate transactions. If you think about the process, so... getting a home ready to sell, okay, sellers spend money,
right.
Paint, applying, upgrading it, whatever they have to do to compete with others, okay, so there's that part. You have the inspection, the necessary evil, unfortunately, in the process. But the reality is that money is spent in the inspection to any repairs that are agreed to. And then, post-closing, buyers often spend money, appliances or customizing the home. So, you start talking about thousands of dollars on average per transaction. You start taking, this year we're going to close 40,000 resale transactions. So, that's Central Indiana. So,
right.
You quickly realize the impact. You're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to tradesmen, to materials, to supplies that are pumped into the economy as a result of real estate transactions. So we want a lot of buyers and we want a lot of sellers conducting business. That's a good thing for Central Indiana. So compared to last year, the volume is about flat. Okay. My board does folks downtown do a terrific job of with the analytics. Now, this is resale transaction. This is not counting new construction. But volume's about flat through October, where I think we were at about 32,000 sold, closed rental properties, which was consistent with last year. I think the difference when I looked it up was less than 500. So,
oh, really?
I mean, truly flat. Yeah. But the key note is pricing is up. Our median price point surpassed 190,000 this year.
Wow.
The same time last year, it was $179,000. So, a higher median price logically is a positive for property owners in Central Indiana. And, we hope it continues. And that's actually a really that's a big move for Central Indiana in terms of median price. Yeah. It's you know, if you look back historically, you know, we'll get 2-3% appreciation right. a year. It's a pretty, you know, it's not Las Vegas or Southern California or Florida. So to jump, you know, 5-7% or whatever the math is on that in 1 year, it's pretty substantive.
Yeah, and I was reading somewhere where they said there's really like three markets when you're talking about housing. There's the low end homes, the middle price, and the high end homes. And are all those markets doing well?
Yeah. So the mid homes, you know, the bulk of my business, you know, is in a mid home. I don't know exactly how you define that, but I would say 200 to 600.
Okay.
And that's been consistent across the board in terms of volume and price point. The last numbers I saw, higher end homes, higher than 550-600K north of that range was down, but the volume was down about single digits. But I'd have to look and really dissect those numbers to report anything accurately. Overall, though, broadly, it's healthy. I mean, we've had as low as 20,000 transactions, even though I say volume is flat, okay, you know, 40,000 transactions. If you go back 20 years, and I've looked at this data in the past, you know, on the low end, was 20,000 transactions. On the high end, it was about 40, 41, 42. And I think we'll surpass 40,000 transactions this year. So from a longer timeline perspective, a very good year.
Excellent. And now we're actually in the middle of the holidays right now. We've already had Thanksgiving. We're getting ready to go into Christmas. And in that time of year, how is that for listing homes? Is that a good time to be on the market?
Well, I get that question a lot this time of year, as well as you can imagine. And, you know, unless there's some unique circumstance, my advice or counsel or response to that is, you know, there are other brokers that would disagree, but my response to that is to, you know, to list your home based around your life circumstances and your personal timeline and your household, as opposed to trying to time it around the calendar. And I'll tell you the reasons why. You know, most sellers here in Central Indiana think that the in terms of closed sold transactions, it's quarter one, and your listeners can't see my hands, but quarter one, then a huge spike, then a huge spike in quarter two and three, and then coming way back down in Q4. And that's not the case. The variation in terms of closed transaction is much more subtle than that, less than 25% quarter by quarter by quarter. So many life events, you know, death and divorce and corporate transfers and, you know, leases that are ending, and so much of that drive this activity. So the variation really is less than people think. They're you know, the slowest time of year is Thanksgiving to the second week of January.
Okay.
You do see a broad erosion in traffic logically during that 6-8 week, you know, window. However, I will tell you that the quality of buyers tends to elevate during that time. These are buyers that typically have to secure something in the next 2, 3, 4 weeks. Generally speaking, however, what your house is worth in the fall, it's probably going to be worth around the same in the spring, in the springtime, even though there's less avail. You know, there's going to be, everybody says, well, you know, my yard's going to look better. The house is going to be popping in the spring, but, you know, so is everybody else's. And the buyers are going to have three times the options in the spring. So from a supply demand standpoint, it's, you know, it's typically a wash. I would list the property when you're ready to sell it, you know, based upon, you know, your life and what you got going on.
Yeah. You know, I spent 11 years in new home sales and, you know, sitting in a model day after day after day for 8 years of that 11 years. And I noticed exactly what you're talking about. Somebody, you may not get as much traffic coming in between Thanksgiving and probably the second week of January.
Right.
But when those people who come in, they are serious.
Right.
They aren't there. They have better things to do that time of year than come look at houses unless they need to buy a house.
But there's no question. So yeah, like I said, the frequency, the showing frequency does erode broadly, but the quality during that window elevates. These are ready to act buyers typically.
Yeah. I noticed that it was really, you know, to me, it was incredible, the difference. again, could you kind of give everybody an idea of how to contact you if they'd like to get a hold of you to list their home or buy a home?
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. And I love that title, by the way, Listing Guru. I appreciate that, and I'll use that. Hey, thanks. 317-432-1544 is my cell, and Armstrong, R-E, brokerage, @gmail.com is my email.
Okay, so perfect. And they can get a hold of you. They can text you, call you.
Call me, text me day or night. I'll respond promptly.
Okay, perfect. Since you are the listing guru and you know everything about getting a home sold, getting it ready, getting it sold, can you give our listeners kind of the best tips on prepping a home when they're getting ready to put it on the market?
Of course. So, you know, when I'm invited out to a home and given consideration to list the property, the first thing I always do when I get there is ask them for a tour of their home. So after several, you know, hundred of these that I've been through now, you just can get a sense, you know, as you can imagine, of what feedback might be coming your way because you have all that right. collective experience. And so this is, I would say today's HGTV world, some of this is cliche and become common sense now, but I would say for the most part, 80% of getting a house prepped and ready for most people is simply decluttering and getting away their personal, you know, photos on the fridge, anything that's not needed. We want to get down to the basics, getting each room as crisp as possible. There's four or five things that I look at. And that is, you know, we want closets at 50, 60% capacity, storage areas. If you need to box up stuff, get a storage unit. If you don't have the will or the ability to do that, use your garage. But decluttering for most people, you know, there's a difference between a lived-in home and a show-ready home, and that's typically the difference is decluttering the home. Okay, so that's one. And we want to focus on what they're going to have, you know, the nice granite or the custom crown molding or not necessarily, you know, soccer trophies on, you know, on the things like that.
Right.
So that's one. Showings are not meant to be inspections, but I will tell you in my experience, buyers do get a bit intrusive from time to time. Just, you know, is my big pot going to fit in this cabinet? You know, and start looking through things, that type of mindset. So, you know, cleanliness is key. That's easy to mitigate. So I always look for that. You know, we want to appeal aesthetically, logically to large a pool as possible. So there's value in, you know, neutrality. Most buyers, not all, but in my experience, you know, a couple things. Most buyers end up spending at the top end of their budget. So, and you could probably confirm that. But if their budget's $300 to $350, they're probably going to spend $335 or $345 in that range. Most buyers want to close and then back up the moving truck and then dump in their furniture and live. So the home that gives them the quickest route, you know, to fulfill that vision is typically the home they move to secure. So updated, neutral, clean, decluttered. We don't want them leaving there, you know, and sometimes in larger homes, you know, particularly or vacant homes, you know, we don't want them leaving the house with any ambiguity or confusion as how to utilize certain space. Sometimes staging can be an appropriate, you know, activity in that circumstances. And then obviously I would, you know, price is important too.
Right.
Really dissecting the competitive landscape as objectively as you can. Most buyers are going to look at about 11 houses on average. Some look at three, some look at 33, but 11 on average. And you really should be able to kind of fine tune your closest competitors. If they're walking through your property, you know, what other property are they walking through? And, you know, as objectively as you can, as a homeowner and as a seller, you know, try to move through that inventory and, you know, you in collaboration with your broker, determine the best spot where to rank it. And it's probably best to position the house from a pricing standpoint on where the market or i.e. buyers are going to be ranking it.
Right. And I mean, I've noticed that when I talk to people and they're getting ready to sell their house, most, not everybody, but most people think that their house is the nice one in the neighborhood.
Not most, all.
Okay.
no, most. Yeah, yeah. 8 or 9 out of 10.
Yeah, most of them. And, you know, and so what you said is to me very correct. You have to back yourself out of it, the emotional piece, and just look at it from a more of a business standpoint if you can. And your broker really is going to help you the most.
There's no question. And listen, it's very difficult to, I mean, my own personal home in Carmel, I probably think is worth, you know, slightly more than it is. Just, you know, just your own blood and sweat and money and memories. And it's very, very difficult to disconnect. But, you know, on the front end, I show, and sometimes we don't even finalize the asking price until the day of activation. And we take a look. All right, here's the 12 that you're competing with. Here's what I think, and here are the reasons why. And what do you think? And, you know, we fine tune it and enter in.
Right. Well, because it's important that you price correctly. I know I had a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. They're up in Michigan, and they thought about listing their house. This is years ago. Instead of listing it, they sold it. They decided to sell it for by owner, mm-hmm. which they did, mm-hmm. and they sold it reasonably quickly. And they sold it, I think, for like I'm going to say $249,900, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then they had the inspection, mm-hmm. and the inspection came back. And it came back, and it was not good, and the buyer backed out.
Mm-hmm.
And they called me, and they said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, I told you to get a real estate agent in the first place. I know you want to sell it on your own, but you need a real estate agent. Because now their house that they were building is getting close to being completed. You need to get a real estate agent. You need to get a good real estate agent who knows the market." So they found a real estate agent. They listed the home with this agent for like two. Remember, they sold it for like $250,000.
Mm-hmm.
They listed it for $289,900 or something like that. They actually sold it and made more money, like $20,000 more, even after paying the real estate agent and everything else, because they had somebody who knew how to price it. They had somebody who knew how to make that house ready to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing I tell people, you know, for sale by owner sounds like a great idea, but it isn't always the greatest idea. It isn't necessarily going to save you any money. In my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's case, it cost them money.
Offers are more aggressive to for sale by owners, and what it made me by aggressive is lower,
right. Yeah,
because exactly. Buyers know you know you're bypassing something. And listen, it can be done, of course, but I will tell you, most for sale by owners evolve into listings that you know eventually a real estate broker is hired. But the story that you just you know communicated is far from unique. That plays out all the time, and you know, it can happen. You can get a house sold for sale by owner, but boy, you better read start to finish. You better read everything appropriately. There's 22, 25 terms on there. If you don't know those in and out, those can really backfire. And logically, you know, listing the home with a real estate agent, you know, more exposure, more eyes is more demand, more traffic, more showings, more of everything. And usually that equates into more money on your exit from the house.
Yeah, and it actually does. And that was kind of part of my point of that story.
Sure.
Is that it does make a difference. And it, for a lot of reasons, as we talked about. Now, how can listeners contact you if they have any specific questions or, you know, have interest in listing their home with you?
Call me, text me day or night, 317-432-1544, or you can email me at any time, or obviously any time at armstrongrebrokerage@gmail.com.
All right, perfect. Scott, thanks so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Rick. It's my pleasure.
And please join me next week as I welcome Greg Keel. He is a private wealth advisor, and he's a certified divorce financial planner. And I can tell you, I've known Greg a little bit. I've worked with him. He is he's amazing, and he really will really makes things understandable. And he's going to discuss how to recover from the trauma of divorce through compassionate, sustainable financial planning and litigation support. I'll clarify: I've never worked with him as a divorce because I've never been divorced.
Okay,
thank goodness.
Good for you. Yeah.
If you have any questions or are thinking about buying or refinancing a home, please contact me. This is my office number. It's 317-672-1938. That's 317-672-1938. Or online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. If you go there, you can just go to my contact page, put your information in. And I can, I'll be able to get back with you. If you have any questions, please do that. Thank you for joining us and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Rickma. Please join us again next Saturday at 3:30 on Freedom 95.